Our readings today have been from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, and Matthew 10, verses 40 to the end. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day and always. Amen. Well, I wonder if anyone here has made a new friend recently. As we get to know new people, we find things we have in common and we expand our conversation from there. Perhaps we start tentatively with a friend in common or a place we might both know, and maybe move on to a book or a film that we've both appreciated. We share the things that enrich our lives, don't we? And in so doing, slowly we grow our relationship. Recently, I met someone for the very first time in what was, for both of us, a stressful situation, really. And we realised that we'd both seen the same TV show, recommending a remarkable birdsong app, which listens to and identifies the bird life in your garden. In no time at all, we were chatting away. We had found common ground and started to build a relationship. 500 years ago, the poet and vicar John Donne wrote a poem which began, "No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main." It's certainly true that a person can choose not to interact with others, to be an island, if you like. And undoubtedly, it's also the case that it's easier for some people to make small talk than others. But most people look for connection with others in some form or another. Today we hear about Philip, one of life's chatterers, a person who built relationships for the sake of the gospel. Like Stephen, he began his service to the church as one of the very first deacons, a man who was willing to serve the church humbly. These deacons were chosen, remember, because they were seen to be wise and sincere in their faith and full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Stephen's shocking death at the hands of the religious establishment caused the members of the early church to scatter. It's interesting, isn't it, that this act of brutality that was intended to extinguish their witness, to silence their voice, had exactly the opposite effect. The believers scattered, and as a result, the good news about Jesus spread with them. Philip left Jerusalem hastily and headed north to Samaria, a hilly country between Judah and Galilee. You'll remember that the Samaritans were not well thought of by the Jews in those days, and so it was an area avoided by Jews. A good choice, perhaps, for someone trying to evade the notice of the Jewish establishment. Philip was a deacon who outgrew his purely administrative role in the church. He developed into an incredible evangelist, a sharer of the good news. Wherever he went, he told people about Jesus and what he had done for him. People's lives were transformed in Jesus' name. They were healed and delivered from conditions that restricted their freedom to be who God made them to be. And wherever Philip went, Scripture tells us there was great joy. We see this time and time again in Scripture and across the world today, where people meet with Jesus and receive forgiveness and freedom in his name. Joy abounds. Philip, this very ordinary but wise man, cultivated some particularly important habits. Firstly, he listened. Throughout our story today, we see him listening constantly both to God, whispering suggestions into his heart, and to people speaking with him face to face. See if you can spot those moments when you read the passage again. So Philip was working very successfully, and we presume contentedly, as an evangelist, when God suggested to him he leave the city of people who loved him and appreciated his ministry and head south. He was led to a desert place that must have looked wholly inappropriate for further work. The angel suggests that this chatty man who loves to share his faith with others goes to a deserted place. Not the most obvious choice for a gospel presentation, I wouldn't have thought. Not the most comfortable choice for a city dweller. Where would he find his creature comforts, his meals and facilities? I wonder if you've ever had a thought that challenged you. Perhaps someone has voiced an invitation from God to begin a new journey with him. How does your heart respond? Philip reveals his second important life habit. He instantly obeys. We're not told he sat down and wrote a list of pros and cons to evaluate the suggestion. We're not told he debated with God about the choice of location. In truth, a lesser man might have been tempted to point out to God how well he was doing right where he was. We're not told. He thought he might get around to it eventually. It has been said that postponed obedience is no different at all to disobedience. God said, go, and Philip started out. Quite simply, he obeyed. He made himself available to God despite the personal cost. He was willing to set aside his creature comfort, his friends and family, his apparent professional success, and follow where God directed him to go. He didn't entirely understand all the detail. He had no idea why he should go, but he wanted above all to serve his Lord, and so he obeyed. He risked a wasted journey. He risked criticism from others. He risked being wrong or being laughed at. Sometimes God's invitation to us might seem counterintuitive. Sometimes we might not see how this suggested step fits with any part of the greater plan. How willing are you to give your yes to Jesus, whatever that might look like? Are you willing to strain every fibre of your being to listen for God's invitation to you today? Along the way, Philip meets an Ethiopian official, the Queen's treasurer, no less. He's a wealthy and influential man, travelling in his personal chariot, and as he does, he's reading scripture. Once more, God says, go to Philip, keep alongside the chariot. Once more, Philip obeys immediately. He honours God and places himself where he can best use him. As we see from the map, Ethiopia is a very long way from Jerusalem. I really doubt Philip expected to encounter an African brother on his journey. But he continues to listen for God's prompting and he continues to obey. As was common in those days, servants of the queen had to be eunuchs to be castrated, and so he could not possibly have been a Jew. According to Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, he was not permitted even to enter the temple. He was a complete outsider, and yet he was so hungry for a relationship with God that he has travelled many miles in search of faith. He is reading scripture, but not yet understanding. God, who has a much bigger plan than we do, has prepared his heart. Philip has been obedient, and he's made an effort to keep up with this carriage. He listens to what's going on around him, and he makes a courageous choice. He asks an open question of the stranger travelling above him. How often do we fail to connect with God's will for us because we're a little timid, a little lacking in the determination to follow through what we suspect he wants of us? Starting with what most concerns the Ethiopian, right there, at his invitation, Philip jumps on board and explains the good news of the gospel to this curious traveller. he shares with him his experience of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and how he understands him to complete the story of salvation from the Old Testament. Jesus' story becomes the eunuch's story. There are no fireworks or any spectacular signs, but thanks to Philip's attentive listening and faithful obedience, a man who was seeking God found faith and believed. As they pass a body of water, immediately he wants to demonstrate what has happened inside of him, the birth of his new faith, by being baptized. Philip listened and obeyed. He's guided by the Lord. The Ethiopian searched the scriptures to find truth. His heart is prepared by the Lord because Philip attended to the whispers of the Holy Spirit and was willing to be wrong and even look silly because he was willing to give his yes to Jesus. An outsider is welcomed home to the kingdom. This influential traveller took home his message of joy and acceptance, and so began the spread of the gospel message to Africa. This short story of two ordinary people desperately seeking God's will for their lives offers us some helpful pointers for the way we might live our lives today. Are we willing, like the Ethiopian, to search the scriptures, to spend time reading and talking about them with like-minded friends, that the Holy Spirit might reveal to us the truth it holds and so transform our lives? Are we willing, like Philip, to listen for our God's voice in our hearts and in the words of others? And are we willing to obey, to give our yes to Jesus, whatever the cost, and follow where he leads? You may feel lacking in confidence in the ability to explain who Jesus is to you. And so on every chair today, you'll find that there's a little booklet for you to keep in the car or in your handbag that simply breaks down what it means to welcome Jesus into your life as saviour or friend. Please take it away and consider who you might look for an opportunity to share it with. We should always be ready, as Philip was, to step out of our comfort zone and to share the greatest treasure we have with someone else who needs it. Let's be still and take some time to listen for God's voice this morning before we end in prayer. Father God, thank you that you love each one of us and that you sent your Son to live, to die and to rise again for our sakes. Please help us to listen to the prompting of your voice in our hearts and give us the courage to obey you, that we might be brave enough to follow wherever you lead and share the greatest treasure we have to offer with those you bring our way. Amen.